WSBC, welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour, presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and Mike Haggerty Buick GMC Volkswagen of Oaklawn, Illinois. My name is Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me, as always, is twin brother Billy. Hello,
hey,
Bill.
Hey, what's up?
And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Hi, Clay.
I'm back.
You're back. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We missed you last week. We had the wonderful Vincent Mamoser.
Yeah, today. I would like to thank Vincent Vincenzo Mamoser.
That's right. Chenny. Yeah.
He did a fine job.
He did do a fine
job. With him.
Played a nice little tribute song at the end of the show to our old pal Lacey Fox. That was nice. A little Warren Zevon cover. Bill, you went and saw Vince's show.
I did. He was great.
Is that O'Sullivan's Public House in Forest Park, Illinois?
Yeah, it's they put on a good show. It was one of the better shows they've done in a while, I felt.
All right.
Cool. Yeah.
There was a music critic.
They were having, Vinny got his hair cut. Things have changed.
That helps.
I think it did. I'm letting him listen. It gave him some superpowers that he hasn't had in a while.
So it happens when you don't slam booze down your face.
No, I had a good time. Yeah, definitely.
Great show. Thank you, Vince. Thanks again. Clay, how was Florida? Did you lose any brain cells on the way back?
Yeah. I left them at a Waffle House in Alabama.
Lots of those down in Florida.
They can put those anywhere, I realized, and people will just show up. Like, there was literally no one in this area, but there was a Waffle House smack dab in the middle.
Well, I bet you the food was good, though.
Delicious. It was good.
Where
we
did
drove
you go? Destin?
So we packed the reason they do that is to curb people's anger. People like you that are driving their kids, they're just like, you need to stop and eat or you're going to kill somebody.
Curb your trucker anger. Come to Waffle House.
Yeah.
So we drove down. We packed the whole car up with everybody. I got three kids under five, so.
We do have a guest tonight.
We do. That's who I'm speaking to.
Yeah. Our friend Pat Clifford is joining us tonight. Hello, Pat. Pat runs the Oak Park Comedy Club at Hamburger Mary's Show Lounge in Oak Park, Illinois. He also happens to be a St. Luke graduate.
Wow.
Thank you. He grew up in the same neighborhood. Wow. We all went to St. Luke's. All
right. Possibly used the same urinal at St. Luke's.
I would like to think so.
Pat is quite a few years younger than us at this point.
That's fine.
But he's probably on the same level as us.
Yeah.
I'm definitely pissed at St. Luke's, so there's a chance we've run into the same area.
We're all kind of on a seventh grade level here. So
and then Pat Clifford also, Clay,
yes.
Graduated from Marquette University.
Ooh.
Or actually, he did not graduate.
Graduated.
But he attempted.
I'm not a graduate either. Yeah.
Fine. Attempted to graduate.
Politely asked to leave before graduating.
Yeah, I was too. It's
so
okay.
Was Pat.
We got two pads here that were politely asked to leave from our training and one Bill. Clay, you managed to get through.
I did a lot of bribing and stealing and lying.
Yeah.
To get through Marquette.
God bless Dominican University, you know?
Yeah.
They helped out.
So tell me more about Florida. Pat, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So we drove down. It took 15 hours. We stopped in Nashville on the way down, stayed in a hotel, had some barbecue.
What'd you do in Nashville? What do you do in Nashville with children?
Go to a hotel, go to sleep, wake up, and leave.
Okay.
Were you?
NFL draft was going on down there.
No, that was on the way back.
Okay.
So we missed that, luckily. But so then we got there, and everyone was tired. But then it was just like pool time and beach time for the next 7 days.
How long were you in the car with them?
15 hours.
15 hours.
Well, 30 total there and back.
Each day you drove how long?
What town again? Sorry.
Destin, Florida was the final destination. So we went from Chicago to Nashville, which is like 9 hours. Slept a night and then another, six or eight down there. On the way back, we drove straight through.
Did you take turns with your wife driving, or were you just like white knuckling it the whole way? Like, come on.
I did 100 miles an hour the whole way.
100 miles an hour to Florida.
Stop me if you want to.
How many gas changes did you do?
Like five each way.
Okay.
So not terrible.
You guys make friends with any other families along the way? Sometimes these things happen, right? On vacations, you keep running into the same family, and then all of a sudden, a week later, you're new pen pals?
Nah, we spoke to no one.
Okay.
That's nice.
Except, people helping us, you know.
We're going on vacation. Nobody speak to anybody while we're here. You understand me?
My boys actually made friends with some kids at like the pool that they would see every day. And
that's what I meant, yeah.
These were older kids, so they were probably like 12 and 13, but they were really good. They were good with the boys. And
right.
And they were from Georgia.
They were from Georgia?
Yeah.
Did they sound, were they like, hey?
A lot of y'alls. I probably heard 2,000 y'alls.
How was your vacation? 2,000 y'alls, dude.
Did you find yourself doing it? Like on the way home, like, y'all need to be quiet. We got to get back to Chicago.
Yeah, you start picking it up.
You find yourself wanting to do it so you don't want people to think that you're from another place.
Right.
Got it.
It's like, y'all got toilet paper here? If you go to like the gas station.
Clay, that's funny you say that because when I had an inside sales gig for a long time, I'd cold call. You know, they'd be like,
yeah.
100 calls. It was like Russian sales school. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
100 calls by noon. Right. You know? And occasionally I would get a guy from the South or maybe New York. And they'd have an accent, and the guy'd be like, you know, I just don't understand why it's interchange plus 42 basis points instead of 35. I'm not that high risk, you know what I mean? And I would respond with, yeah, I know what you mean.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let me check with underwriting, call you back a little bit, okay, Harv?
That happens with every, you know, different dialect there is. If you talk to an Irish person, all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I tell you what, it was a rough day yesterday, boy.
Do you think that if you moved to Ireland, you would all of a sudden pick up the brogue after a while?
100%.
It does happen.
It does. And it's funny you say that because we did. I met a woman on the beach and I was wearing a Sox hat or something. And she's like, oh, she's like, y'all from Chicago? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, I was born and raised in Cicero.
Come on.
What?
Like, she goes, Southern Cicero.
I go, well, you got to explain this all to me now. She goes, I was born and raised in Cicero. My dad was from Mississippi. My mom is from Chicago. And then I married a guy from Georgia, and I've been living in Georgia since she was like, you know, 10 or
gotcha.
Whatever. But she and like, well, you don't, you know, have the Chicago accent anymore. She's like, it just went away. Just
but did she look kind of Ciceroan?
Yeah, did you say like, you're not related to Capone, are you?
No, she did not look Ciceroan.
Okay.
Whatever
She's
that looked like.
Ciceroan. She had a Ciceroan kind of look to her.
She was with like a really swole, like 75-year-old.
Really?
Like,
I have
a swole 75-year-old man.
Yeah, this guy was in better shape than all of us.
Tiffany
yeah,
Southern Cicero.
Tan, swole, 75-year-old white-haired guy on the beach.
Yeah, there's a lot
That's,
of those
you
guys
know what, though? Yeah. He's living every guy from Cicero's dream right now.
He
you kidding
is,
me?
Basically.
There's guys like, there's probably a poster of that guy in kids' rooms in Cicero somewhere.
I don't know. Let's not go that far. Clay. This gentleman sounds like the gentleman who appears in the Cialis commercials that you aspire
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, that, well, that's my...
You've
my
always future. Wanted to be a handsome, swole 50-something, or you said he was 70?
Probably 70, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is a weird thing when you see an old man that's, like, just cut, you know?
Yeah, like, really old.
Yeah, like 75.
Like 70 or 80. Like, this guy's 80 years old.
He's just in better shape than you.
Doing push-ups on the beach right now.
Oh, yeah. You know what the secret to old age is and looking that way?
Oatmeal.
That's right. McCann's Irish Oatmeal, more importantly. This show is presented by it. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a tan, ripped, 75-year-old, white-haired hunk in Destin, Florida, make sure you start eating this McCann's.
Yep.
It'll get you there.
Yeah.
More Hooli's Hooli after these messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children. If you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third generation family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. His trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orrico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero, and tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
Welcome back, Hooley's Hooley. Definitely, go see the Haggertys and get yourself a car.
Do it.
It's a great season to do so. They got a lot of nice hot stuff in for the summer, Clay.
One thing I wanted to mention that I did do, it was pretty cool. We were kind of running out of things to do on vacation with the fam.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I got a tip that if you go to the Naval Station in Pensacola, you can watch the Blue Angels practice.
Oh, that is cool.
Doing all the routines. So we went and we sat on like bleachers that are at like a baseball field and with like 100 people and watched their entire routine like front row. It was nuts.
Did that end up being the highlight of the trip?
It was.
Yeah. Did you play Highway to the Danger Zone by Loggins?
Totally.
Little Top Gun, you know?
I was just sitting there going, I should have been a fighter pilot. Yeah, I did it all wrong.
Kid went to Luke's, became a fighter pilot.
If I hadn't discovered booze when I was 12, I would have been a fighter pilot.
You think there are any fighter pilots from Luke's? Are there any that we know of?
No.
I don't know. Pat Clifford's our guest tonight. He went to St.
You know
Luke's.
Any fighter pilots?
No, man. I know a bunch of degenerates.
Yeah,
is
me
about
too.
The.
We probably know some of the same degenerate.
Yeah, yeah.
Families.
It runs deep. It stays in the family and it stays in the town.
Right.
So tell me about this comedy deal you got going on.
So we started doing this Oak Park Comedy Club over at Hamburger Mary's, the Oak Park Brewing Company in Oak Park. We started this about 3 years ago. We're actually doing our three-year anniversary show May 2nd, which
nice.
Is tomorrow.
All right.
And our first show was horrible. Like,
really?
It just starts off so bad.
It's like, a stand-up, or is it like...
So that was the thing. We had no idea.
Right.
So I was talking to the owners... and they were like, we got dead space on Thursday nights. Can you put together a comedy show? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. Like, what kind of comedy are you thinking?
Yeah.
They're like,
funny,
just
funny
a
stuff.
Comedy show.
Well, that's because you came from the improv world as well.
Right. I was a improv and sketch mainly.
After you left Marquette, you followed the footsteps of many Marquette people to Second City, like myself, Clay,
aye.
Bill. Bill, did you
Chris
ever do classes?
Farley.
You never did the classes, did you?
I did classes in high school at Second City.
That's true.
That's how I started, too, yeah.
Chris Farley, Pat Finn is another guy out in Hollywood. Dan Pudi.
Yep.
Fleming. The Fleming brother, Steve Fleming.
Yep.
Tons of Marquette guys have shown up at the Second City.
So I'm right on the path.
You're there.
I'm on it.
No, the Marquette guys actually have pretty good odds with success coming out of
totally.
Second City. The odds are good for them, you know. I mean, a lot of success stories for guys that partied a lot in college. Did you? I did, at least. Do you tell people, Pat, did you go into Oak Park Comedy Club and go, listen, I went to Marquette.
See, I don't
There's
know
a
if
long
you know
lineage
this.
Of Marquette
so you guys
guys
don't know this about me, but I was actually at Marquette.
for a
I was
bit.
On their improv team. And I don't know about if you know this man, Chris Farley. He also was on that a while ago.
Yeah, comedy sports.
25 years ago.
So if you want to talk to me about comedy, you need to come ready.
What was your experience like at Second City? I worked at Second City for a little while. And you're one of the guys who've been through the program rather recently.
Yes.
And it's changed quite. The evolution
it has,
of Second
man.
City is
it
nuts.
Has.
I've only been out of there. I was an intern there in like 2009. 2007 to 2009, I think, were the years that I was working in the training
center. Awesome couple of years for you.
It's fun. Yeah. But I was watching the whole thing change.
That's when Kelly Clarkson was huge.
Yeah, Clarkson was pretty big in those days.
Hey, she was hosting some Billboard thing tonight.
Hey, I didn't say she wasn't still big,
Clarkson.
She's
on fire these days.
Billy.
Clarkson.
Billy's got Clarkson's back.
Okay, back to Second
Never
City.
Never said I had her back, but she's on fire lately, from what I hear.
That sounds like having her back to me, Bill.
Yeah. I got Clarkson back in my life.
Second City, Pat.
So I did it in high school, I think.
Oh, we did the high school program at Second City.
Yeah, so I did the high school program, I think. I don't want to date you guys, but 11 or 12, 2011 or 12, and
yes.
Because I wasn't getting any playing time on Oak Park's basketball team.
Yes.
For those of you who can't see me, I am very pale, so they didn't really like
Oak
me.
Oak Park River Forest High School's basketball team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get playing time, but like Second City at that time, 2011, was awesome. Like I had so much fun. I was in their little program.
So did you take that, did you get the bug early then while you were there? And then when you got to Marquette, you were like, all I want to do is do Second
right,
City. I don't know why I'm here.
Right. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I was at Marquette. That's why I just drank.
That's why you left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't get told to leave. I did it on my terms.
Yeah.
Yes.
But no, so when I went back in 2015, I was doing their improv program, their writing. I did their acting and tried.
So you jumped into it hard.
Into it pretty hard because when I came back from school, my parents were like, okay, we get it, but you got to do something. You're not just going to sit on your ass all day.
Right.
I was like, all right. So I dove head first into Second City. And the improv program was awesome. I fell in love with it. It was great. Then I was like, everybody should take an improv class at least once. It opens your eyes. Like I had doctors, lawyers, teachers, everyone in my class.
Yeah, you drank the Kool-Aid hard.
Big time. And I started feeding it. And, but then as it kept going, I was like, oh, man.
There's a lot of people here.
Yeah, but there's
like 3,000 people here.
But by the time I stopped going there, they had one goal in mind. They already had their name. They already made this Second City. They just became so corporate. And
they still are.
No, I know, but you have to work every job that there is at Second City in order to be found.
Stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, as in any sort of resident theater. But that place, you're right. It is huge now. There are a lot of people. But yeah, I think the cream still rises to the top
of course, at
Second City. And that's what it's good for. Guys learn at Second City, all right, I need to find my voice and do something on my own. You're not going to just hang out at Second City and someone's going to be like, hey, you're it. You get to have Saturday Night Live. I like your look.
You're really pale.
It's very good with the.
Wait, we got another pale Irish guy here. What? Irish guys? There's 90 of them.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got to stand out from the rest of the knuckleheads that just showed up.
So that's how you all of a sudden are like, all right, let me start this comedy room. Did you Did you go hunting for the kid? Because you started this room with two other buddies from Second City, correct?
So I started it. Yes. So right now it's run by me and. This guy, Tyler Fowler, and a comedic, Vic Pondia. Two of those guys have their own. They're doing they're over the comedy scene all over downtown. And all this. But I met Tyler through Second City in an improv coached ensemble. And then I met Vic through Tyler.
Okay.
And no, I did not seek out this comedy show. One of my buddies who worked there when they first opened was like, let me set you up with the owners.
At the Oak Park Brewing Company?
Yeah,
okay.
So that's
where's
how
it
that
located?
All goes started. 155 South Oak Park Avenue.
Okay, fine.
You know where Secondhand Tunes was, Clay?
Yeah, bro.
It's right there. Right next to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I was in that room for a drag show many years ago on New Year's Eve.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Do they still have that there, Pat? Do they do the drag
queen
shows?
They do. And it gets a little weird when I since I still live in my hometown, it gets a little weird when I'll tell like parents, like, yeah, I'm actually doing comedy. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, is that, yeah, all right. And then
tell me a joke, funny boy.
Yeah, that's the worst yeah. thing. But so I was like, yeah, we host and produce a show every Thursday at Oak Park Brewery, Hamburger Mary's. And like, you can just tell they get a little like wince in their face, and I'm like, nope, it's just regular old comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not drag comedy.
It's not scary comedy.
I cut my long hair for a reason. This is just strict comedy.
Did you have long hair?
I did. I had about 10 inches of hair hanging down here.
Oh, like, you're like Mitch Williams. like the Wild Thing.
Jerry Cantrell. You know who Jerry Cantrell is?
Mm-mm.
He's from a band called Alice in Chains.
Yep.
Yeah. I looked like a guy, I don't know if you've heard of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting for him to come back, supposedly.
Yeah, Easter passed, we're done.
Yeah,
we had a kid at Marquette.
He's a no-show.
There was a kid at Marquette named Chris Burke that we called Jesus.
Chris Sloan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's probably a high-priced attorney somewhere. I think we've talked about that before.
He's doing
great.
He's just as Jesus doing divorce court.
Yeah.
That could you be interesting. Seen,
she wants the Mercedes in the boat.
You ever seen The King of Kong with Billy?
I have seen that, yes. That movie's amazing.
Oh, you're talking about Billy Mitchell, the hot sauce guy.
Billy Mitchell had the beard and the long hair.
He's the Pac-Man. What was it?
Dude, he's like the world champion. Donkey Kong, Galaga. Like, I mean, he's all over the joint.
We got off track.
I know, I got excited because he talked about it, and then I went, oh, yeah, long hair with, you know, it works.
Whenever people talk about long hair, I just get so excited.
I used to have great long hair,
don't
too.
Don't get them started on hair. Don't get me going on my hair. That's why they're wearing hats. They have no
hair. Speaking of hair.
Yeah.
All right, I mean, I hate to cut you off real quick, Pat, because we're going to tell your whole story.
I already did it for me.
I had, Sunday morning, Mary's nephews were getting confirmed. We had to go to Mass, and she's got Maddox up, you know, and he's out of the bath, he's out of the shower. She's like, I got to trim your hair a little bit. Uh-oh. You know? And she's like in that rush kind of mode, and I think she went a little too high on the burns.
Yeah.
And around the back, right?
So you had Orlando
But then she almost like trimmed the top of his hair and it looked like he had like bangs, right? And he's not happy about it. And she was like, Bill, can you get in here? You know, I'm like, I'll get the clippers. I'll clean up his neck, you know? So I go get the cleaner. I'm in there.
Make him look like a cop from Orlando.
He did look like a cop from Orlando, all right? Yeah, wait, gets better. And I told him I would talk about
this. This is like the scene in Boys in the Hood when Trey's getting his haircut from Lawrence Fishburne. Hold on.
Yeah, but that looked good.
No, yeah, he didn't. I could have faded him, but Mary was, you know, he didn't want the clippers me to go near him. And just like, as soon as I cleaned his neck, he was like, he was done. After he saw himself in the mirror, he was like, no one's touching me at all anymore. He gets me back and like, his mom goes in the shower. I'm like in the bedroom getting ready. And he goes, Bill, come in here. And I come into the living room and he's standing there and he goes, I look ridiculous. And he's like in his church clothes. And I'm like, you know, yes, you do. And I'm like, yes, you do. Yes, you do look ridiculous.
No, you so don't. You look like an Orlando police officer. Anyways, circa 89.
Anyways, we get over to the family.
You ever seen Caps?
We get over to the family party after Mass. And after the boys are confirmed, we're over there. Everyone's eating food.
Yeah.
And, He's down in the basement and he walks upstairs and his uncle's like, hey, is that Lloyd Christmas or am I like hallucinating right now? And then he got like all, you know, the poor kid was wearing a stocking cap all week. He got faded up.
But you gotta shave it off.
I got some great pictures. But bad haircuts, man.
Like, I've done that.
But then I told him, I was like, look at me, man. You have hair. Like, mine's not coming back.
Hold on to it.
It's all.
I'd have $1,000. I wouldn't give for a bad haircut.
I know. I was like, oh, you're crying about a bad haircut? How about none?
But I wouldn't give.
It's like, oh, you don't like this flavor of candy? You're never having any candy ever again.
Bill,
I had to deal with that.
You should have picked up his scraps and taped it to your own head.
That would have looked even more ridiculous.
That would have been very odd. For Easter, Bill shows up to the family party. Yeah, Maddox. I cut Maddox's hair. I put some of his hair on mine. Yeah. I glued it on.
Don't I look fancy?
Yeah. Don't I look fancy? When's the ham coming?
I'm so proud of you boys becoming I'm so proud of you boys becoming adults in the Catholic Church. Oh, by the way, I put some of Maddox's hair on my head. I hope you didn't mind.
Oh, this? That's right. This on my head? It's a child's hair clippings.
Child's hair clippings. I mean, there's money in that. You know there is.
That's a sick business, Don, right there.
Yeah, let's not go down that road.
What kind of business does your dad own? He owns, he collects the hair clippings of children, and he sells
them to bald men.
Sells them to bald men all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world.
He learned this as a sweeper at Fantastic Sam's back in the early 80s.
Hey, you know what? If Pillow Boy can sell pillows, then anyone can sell anything.
This is a weird Brian Urlacher commercial.
Yeah. Sandberg, Urlacher, Houlihan.
Katona.
Restore.
We'll be sending an invoice. Thank you.
So, Pat, you go to Hamburger Mary's, you start to show up with these two guys, and you're 3 years running now.
Yeah.
And you do one thing at your show. I went and witnessed it a couple weeks back, is that you do incorporate improv sets into the show.
We do, yeah.
Which I've seen attempted in the past, and it does not always work, but for some odd reason, you guys have figured out how to structure the show properly to keep the audience engaged during improv sets.
Yeah. So one of the things that we had to get through was that this room is longer than it is wide.
Yeah.
So the people in the back tend to lose
interest
and focus throughout the show.
Then they talk too much.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so, like, the first couple of shows we did, like I was saying, it was tough to find, like, something that worked. We did too much improv and not enough stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
But now we found a good 3 stand-ups, 1 short form, like quick one-liner improv game for about 4, maybe 5 minutes, which when you ask for a suggestion, every single person's like, oh man, pick mine.
Right.
Like, can I get a location? Oh, I went to Taco Bell today.
Right.
Like, now suddenly they're back in.
Now we're rolling.
How often do you get those sophomoric responses though? Can I have a suggestion? Like, something you might find
your
in a
butthole.
Home.
Right. A dildo.
Right. That kind of stuff comes out a lot. Right.
I had.
You're like, hey, the dildo guy is here again from the improv set. He's here again. The guy who always makes the dildo suggestion. It's fun. Now, who's headlining this past week? How does it come about when you're picking for the 3-year anniversary show?
Tyler and Vic have their crazy network that they've gone through downtown by just doing...
Of working stand-up comedians, yeah.
Right. 3 shows a night and everything like that. So they really help book the comics, and in their minds they know who's headliner material and who's like coming, like
up and coming
can be.
Yeah It was a good, when I went and saw the show, it was a very good quality. It was very nicely produced, and I give you guys big props for that, because I've done this in the past and it's hard to book.
I book like the people who have come and did well, so I'll rebook them.
Okay.
But Tyler and Vic will usually bring people for the first time, and they can't make it every week, but I make it almost every week. So I'm there to see how they do in a suburb area rather than downtown in Wrigleyville. Right.
What kind of crowd are we talking about here? 50 people, 100, 4,000?
No, so that's the thing. It varies so much, and it's crazy. We've had great shows with 8 people. 8 people crowds, and we've had terrible shows with 50 people in the audience.
Right.
So, but most of it is like people who either have kids, just moved to the town and like, oh, there's comedy here, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Or like people who come just because like date night got boring.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you have my parents and my friends who are still around.
Mom and dad are at the show tonight again?
Yep.
Well, you know you're always going to get laughs from them, right, when they show up? Or do they ever critique you and go, bad show tonight?
No. My mom will say a couple things like, oh, I don't like how you think like that. Like, is that really how you think? And I was like,
maybe you shouldn't come anymore,
maybe,
Ma.
Maybe.
You're taking this far too literally.
Yeah. My dad will be like, can you run that one back again? Like, I think I missed a part. And I was like, oh, my God.
Do you cringe when everybody, like somebody goes blue on stage and your parents are in the audience and you're like, oh?
No, I don't. I think it's awesome. I think.
Going blue, Pat?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that a term in the comedian term?
Yes.
You've
it
never
is.
Heard the term going blue?
I have not.
It means that you're kind
you're
of
frozen.
Telling, you're telling some off color jokes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You're going blue.
You're
being raunchy.
It's tough.
Right. You're getting kind of dice clay with it.
Yeah. And we do get a lot of people who will be there, and they'll either be like, oh, heck yeah, this is a comedy show. Like, I'm ready for anything. I'm open-minded, and I'll be able to have a good time. But we have others who are like,
this is repulsive.
Right. And they're like, I don't want to laugh at
Let's
this.
Let's go to Winberry's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't handle this.
Well, Oak Park is one of those towns where I can see that everything is very safe. Everyone's, the littlest thing will offend
everyone. Right, get in the Scion. We're leaving.
Get in the Scion. Commercial for Scion. I wonder if you go to Haggerty, ask them if they have any Scions on the lot.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, that's the kind of comedy I like. Raunch.
Oh, I thought you meant Scion comedy. Scion comedy would be it. Yeah. That's my new show, Scion comedy.
Raunchy comedy is great until you get that one guy who's just raunchy to be raunchy.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
there's
yeah.
nothing.
Well, do you get
nothing
that?
Behind
you need
it?
Substance. I felt like when I was younger and goofing off with friends, and there'd always be that one guy at like a beginning stand-up, room, and the guy you'd be like, oh, this guy again. Like,
yep.
You know, yes. And you're like. Yes. And he's going to throw the audience all off key. And you, of course, you put him on first because you're like, he's going to go blue right off the bat.
Right.
He's got no decent leg. You know, he can't, he's got no material that's got legs for yeah. like 3 minutes. So you're like, oh, he's going to go blue 45 seconds into the bit. And then yeah. you're like, oh, is the audience, are we going to lose the audience before any of the decent comics get on stage? Or, is the audience going to love it? And then you're like, all right, now I can do whatever I want when I get on. I guess sometimes those guys are good and bad.
That's the same kind of guy who, like, when you're up and you're like, what time would you like a light? And he's like, nope, got a strict 6. I don't need anything. It's like, oh, this.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yep. He's like, I've been pretty solid. I was like, you have 8 minutes if you want. They'll be like, nope, I'm probably only going to do 6. It's like, oh, well, then you're not going to let me light you, and you're going to end up doing 9 and 10.
Yep. Yeah. Taking advantage of you, Pat.
Yeah, and then I'll just fight him. Just right then and there. Right when that 8-minute marker hits after telling me 6.
No, that's just when his first joke bombs. You give him the light. You go, like a minute and a half in. You're out. No, thank you. Wrap it up.
I've only had to
Have you
play
had to take anybody
person.
Off stage?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I've only had to play off one person from 3 years.
You only had to yank one guy off stage.
One guy off stage.
And what did he do?
Running long?
No. Running bad.
We can't talk about on the air?
I would probably say so. Like around the lines of murder stuff and like a bunch of jokes.
Right.
That
you just got gruesome. Too dark.
They get too bad and it's like, okay, but where's your punchline? Like where does it make it justifiable? Like,
right.
How are we going to get...
So this guy's just
laugh.
Ranting and saying crazy things. Right. You're like, okay, off now.
Yeah.
You're done. Did he throw a fit when you yanked him?
No, he was like, yeah, checks out. I was like, oh my God.
It's
why
like
can't
knew.
You just realize that?
Yeah.
Why could you be funny like that up there?
Right.
Sir?
How many guys have you had come up and they're just bombing so bad where they just quit? I saw a friend of mine who was at your show.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but he was on the bill that night. I was like, oh, maybe I'll pop in. And I walked in and he was in the middle of a bomb.
Bad.
Right? Just a bad bomb. And I thought I thought I'd say hello to him, but he was bombing so hard. He just like bailed in the middle of his set and just like, Pat was like, okay. And our next comic, it was like, the guy was like, all right, see you guys later.
And I'll come on stage and like shake the person's hand.
Yeah,
and
he just was already
off stage. And I was like,
he was in
give
his car.
It up for him one more time.
In his car already.
Do How about that?
One of the nice things, though, is that your audience is not too hostile. They don't boo people or any, do you get the groans where the audience is turned on a comic? Has that happened to you guys yet?
No, we do. We wouldn't get groans because I think people in Oak Park are scared to heckle because
they're too
nice. You're talking to a comedian who doesn't have morals.
Right. They're like,
they'll go to town on you. Like, they'll murder you.
Uh-huh.
But we get some like soft crowds. Like I have a lot of self-deprecating jokes.
Sure.
And I've gotten a couple times like where they'll kill and they'll land perfectly, and others where they'll be like, oh.
Yeah, they're like,
they
feel
bad
yeah.
for you?
I was like, I'm on stage telling you guys this stuff. Like
yeah, you're supposed to laugh.
This is what I'm living. I'm cool with it. It's a funny premise.
Right.
And they're
right.
just like, oh, sweetie, it'll get better.
Yeah,
Pat, that reminds me of my missing bicuspid that I've been talking about lately. I lost a tooth as an adult.
Jeff.
All right?
Jeff.
Jeff is gone.
Jeffrey.
And I've been thinking about writing bits about my tooth, and maybe Oak Park's just not ready for tooth humor. They might feel bad for me, right? Everybody like my big gappy smile?
You'd be like, you should go to the dentist.
Right. Yeah. Why don't you go to the dentist?
Didn't you go to... Wasn't your basketball coach in eighth grade a dentist?
He was, actually.
I know. That's why I'm making the joke to you.
Yeah.
That's the response you might get.
Well, when does the show go down? It's every Thursday
every
night.
Every Thursday at 8 p.m.
At Hamburger Mary's.
At Hamburger Mary's in Oak Park, yep.
And you can see Pat, he's the resident MC there.
Yes, I am. It's a fun show, and we just keep finding a way to get better each year. And it's crazy to think that it's already 3 years.
Yeah, you're doing something right, you know?
Yeah, apparently.
Keep it up.
It goes by
Maybe I'll
fast.
Go down there and slap a couple people around, you know?
You want to come down to the club and slap a couple people?
Yeah. Tell some jokes. Kick some people.
That's what you say to the booking promoter. Hey, listen, I'd love to come down there, slap a couple people around, tell a couple of jokes.
Yeah.
Put Kiss me on
some
Wednesday
hands,
night,
shake
will
some babies.
I'll walk through the crowd. I'll get to the people in the back. They can't hear anything.
What about that, Pat? Have you had a comic leave the stage where he likes
hey,
to walk
Clay,
into the audience?
You could be the karate comic. That's what Mike just told me that.
Oh, yeah, so I'll have some.
You know, it's funny that Mike
Hold
just,
up this board for me. Let me crack it in half.
It's funny you just made that Mike just made this joke because I just watched a, like, you know how I love watching Gangsters, America's Most
yeah,
Evil?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just watched one on Tommy Karate.
I know all about Tommy Karate.
Yeah, so that's what this kind of reminded me of, Tommy Karate back in New York, the karate comic.
I don't think did he actually know karate? He did.
Yes.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah,
he
yeah.
was very tough, Tommy Karate.
Was he a comedian?
No, he was
no,
a
he
hitman.
Was a ruthless killer.
Oh, I thought there was a real Tommy Karate. I thought there no. was a comedian named Tommy Karate. Tonight at Riddles, Tommy Karate. Great name
well,
for a
been.
Comedian.
No, but yeah, you could go down there. Clay, you should go down there as the karate comic.
I will. I'll get my judo outfit out of storage.
Yeah. I got a guy who can get you on the lineup.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, look how nice. Look how simple that was.
I'll make
was,
everyone but. Sign a waiver. Yeah. Because they're going to get black eyes.
Yeah. I would laugh at a karate comic. That would make me laugh.
He just does his...
Jugular. Because you're not ready for it. You're like, what is this guy seriously in a karate outfit right now telling jokes?
I like the guy who tells a joke and gets a laugh and then does like a fake karate kick on stage or something like that, you know? Get him warmed up. Part of your stuff.
Like I would tell a joke and then out of nowhere some guy would come out with a board and I'd just pop it in half. Go to the next joke.
Yeah.
Punchline.
That could work.
Clay, you're onto something. That could
I've
be
been
a
looking
thing.
For a new thing.
That's
Maybe
a good
I'll
gig.
Get into it.
All right. Pat Clifford's been our guest. We're going to take a quick commercial break. If you're going to be in the Beverly neighborhood this weekend, go over and say hello to Mary and Bernard Callahan at Bernie Callahan's Irish Pub. It's at 10618 Southwestern. It's the perfect Southside Irish bar. If you're headed over to Western Avenue tonight or anytime this weekend, make sure you go to the Twisted Shamrock Irish Pub. It's out in the Midway. It's one of the finest bars in the Midway area. Additionally, if you're interested in boxing and getting in shape this season, go see Mike Joyce at the Celtic Boxing Club in the Beverly Mount Greenwood area. More Hooli's Hooli after these messages.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell him Hooli sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClurg Court. We spend a lot of time there taping the Skinny and Hooli show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine, a cafe menu of salad sandwiches and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hoover.
History going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. They've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Welcome back, Hooley's Hooley.
Yeah.
Get yourself some McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Yeah.
Go get yourself a car at Mike Haggerty Buick GMC this spring.
Get a Zion.
Get
Pat,
a Scion. I got to ask you this question.
Got any Scions.
Because we were just talking outside a little bit about good old St. Luke's, our alma mater.
Our guest tonight is Pat Clifford. Pat, welcome back.
Was Annie's Hot Dogs open?
Yes.
There? So you got to experience the glory days.
Yeah, it actually left when I graduated.
Did
so
you ever shoot ketchup out of the BB gun hole? Man, that thing was there for 20 years.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Annie's Hot Dog Stand, which was right across, directly
somebody
across
shot
the street
a
from
BB
St. Luke's
through
School
the window
in
there,
River Forest.
And you could fit the ketchup bottle perfectly through it, and some kid from Roosevelt came by. It was curtains for him.
Yep.
Man.
Whoever shot that BB.
That stayed there the whole time it was there. Like, that didn't change.
I know. I think Simon eventually, who the owner of it, thought it was, he just thought it was a gimmick. He was like, it's part of Annie's. It's part of a rite
of
passage for these kids in the neighborhood. I'm not changing the window.
It's one of the few places you could get a bowl of cheese fries where the cheese was scooped out of a coffee can.
But you weren't. You, it was. And not only that, their cheeseburger with Thousand Island dressing was out of this world. I will also mention, I mean, I had some. Did you ever have any run-ins in Annie's? I mean, like showdowns.
Don't want to, we're talking St. Luke's Bogos. Forget about St. Luke's Grammar School. Let's
I'm
talk about Annie's.
I want to know how it happens, because that would be kind of, for a young kid that's into comedy, that would be like a pretty good room to work when you're a seventh or eighth grader.
Annie's?
Oh, yeah.
Many seventh graders work that room.
Yeah, a lot of kids, a lot of comedians from River Forest walked through that room there.
It's a shame it's gone.
They had a cigarette machine there when we were in seventh and eighth grade.
They did. That's true.
And you could go to like the lady at the counter, like, give me some quarters for the cigarette. The cigarette machine.
Get a pack of
problem.
They didn't have like, I don't think I could afford the Marlboros. They had like Raleighs.
Yeah.
For like $1.75.
They're like, they'd be like, they're for your mom, right? I'm like, yeah. Course.
Meanwhile, I mean, I need to remind everyone, they couldn't, I mean, cigarettes were a dollar, like a generic pack of smokes in 1993 was like $1.75.
Give me $1.75 and quarters and a bowl of cheese fries.
That's exactly how it went. I got basketball practice at 5:30.
You got basketball practice in a half hour. I got to have 9 cigarettes and some cheese fries.
Let's bring that up. Pat, if you've listened to past program episodes of this show, which you can find at hibernianradio.org or on iTunes at Hooley's Hooley Radio. One of the running themes of this program is cigarette smoking. There's a lot of talk of cigarettes on this show. Bill has brought it up. I'm interested to know, you're a couple, I guess, the generation behind us. We were very avid smokers in eighth grade. Was there a lot of smoking going on at St. Luke's when you were there, or had you guys wised up?
I felt like that was a Vincent thing.
That was the Vincent's kids all smoked?
I think that moved up north. Well,
the Italian kids at Vincent's getting out of Cadillac.
Well, it's funny. Listen, stogies. Hey, it's funny you bring up.
God bless.
It's funny you bring up Vincent's, because
St. Vincent Ferrer Parish.
I ran into a very close friend of ours,
Christina Sharonis, who loves this show. She listens to it every week.
And Hi, Christina.
And we love her.
And I ran into her at Vince's show. She
ran into her.
She was walking out, leaving, and I was like walking in. So she like caught probably like the first like four songs. I don't know if she had something going on at home or whatever. You know,
at Vince Mamoser's show over the weekend.
Yeah, this was on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I run into her, you know, and she's we're laughing about the show, and she says, "Oh, I forgot to tell you." I said, "What?" She said, "My ma did the genealogy test for me for Christmas."
Right.
Yeah.
She goes, "I'm Greek like I thought."
Yeah.
She goes, "But I thought I was more Italian than what I really was." Uh-huh. So she sent me a screenshot of her ethnicity thing the other day. Yeah. I said I'd talk about it. She's got 12% Irish blood. Sharonis is 12. Wow. And she's got 11.
That's why she can drink so well.
She's 11 Germanic and then 5% English in like Wales, Northwestern Europe. So she turns out she's more of those nationalities than she is Italian. She was very upset with her. And I said, we were happy to have her as part of our community.
At the end of the day, we're all American scumbags.
Another great name for a comedy show.
Yeah, that's American a great
scumbag.
Name.
Well, shout out to Christina.
Yeah, I thought I'd give her a shout out.
Any, also, to any of other our other listeners out there, if you'd like us to give you a shout out, you can send Dear DNA.
Send a postcard.
Send us your DNA.
Send us your DNA. We'll list off what nationality you are. And, Mike from Oak Lawn is half German. He's a little bit Croatian.
He's hello got a Yorkie.
And he's part dog. Shout out to you, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, we could start doing genealogy tests over the radio. People would probably like that.
There is a show. There's a guy on who's the doctor on TTW on PBS that does the Finding Your Roots.
Dr. Oz? Yeah. He's not doing any genealogy stuff.
No, it's not Dr. Oz, Bill.
No, I know what you're talking
about. It's Gates, yes.
Yes.
Was it William Henry Gates? Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's not correct.
William Gates, he went to Marquette and went to St. Joe's and played basketball.
You're right. He's in Hoop Dreams.
He was in Hoop Dreams. Of course I know who William Gates is.
Maybe so.
I didn't know he was a doctor on WTTW giving genealogy reports, but thank you, Patty.
Basketball didn't work out for him, you know?
Maybe we get William Gates on our show to be the genealogy
think about
guy.
That. William Gates, you know, Marquette guy, he pops into the show. You know, we're talking about Oak Park, Steve James being from Oak Park. Boy, they're... The semblance is very weird tonight.
The semblance, Bill says.
Yes, he does.
The semblance is the name of Bill's band.
The semblance.
The semblance.
It's a punk goth band.
I don't know. I like it, though. Anyways, Pat was telling us that Vincent's kids were smoking.
St. Vincent's. Yeah. And went on a long tangent into that.
Sorry.
No. Well, I was super shy at St. Luke's. I didn't...
In grammar school?
Yeah, I didn't do... anything like crazy like that. I was an only child at home, so like didn't have the free range. I had helicopter parents growing up, and so and they would sniff out that immediately.
Sure.
Yeah.
My mom did that when I was coming home a little high in high school. She was like, "You smoked?" And I was like, "That was hours ago." Yeah. I played basketball since then. Like,
you're
I
my
sweat.
Only kid. I have to pay attention to you.
Yeah. So, but like that DARE program stuck with me for like a year.
Yeah.
And oh, good.
That's heavy stuff.
It kept me, yeah.
Don't smoke.
Now I'm probably like, probably won't.
Our DARE guy was kind of weird because he like came out and the first thing he said was like, "I was in a band in the 60s. It's like, dude, you're a DARE cop.
A DARE instructor? Drug Abuse Resistance Education is what DARE stands for.
Yeah, but he was showing us pictures of him sitting around like a, you know.
Like, he wasn't like sitting around like a bong or anything like
yeah,
that.
He's not like, "Hey, I'm
hey,
officer.
This was me in the 60s. Don't be this guy. What are you talking about? You're a police officer giving us a speech in a public, in a Catholic school.
You brought a
school.
Guitar with you, officer.
Aren't we
officer
supposed,
Rutz?
Yeah, aren't we supposed to be your role model?
But I guess what I was getting at was that when we were that age in eighth grade, you saw.
We were like 50-year-olds.
You saw kids walking down the street smoking in River Forest. Like yeah. they
all
would be,
day.
They'd be riding their bicycles like with a cigarette in their hand, and people's moms would drive by and go, "Put that cigarette up," you know, and
they go, "Shut up."
You don't see that anymore at all. And
no,
you know, his name is Henry Louis Gates.
Henry Louis, what did I say?
William Gates.
William Henry.
William
H.
Henry.
Gates.
You got the Henry right.
Okay. I think you said William H. Gates, like you wanted to be William H. Macy. I don't know where you got the H in there, but
okay, it's gone off the rails now.
Yes, it has.
That is something though. Maybe we can ask William Gates from Hoop.
Well, I'm sorry
if you would like a segment on the program where he reads off everyone's genealogy.
It sounds
our
like
listeners.
That. It basically sounds like you're disappointed that kids aren't smoking as much as they used.
Very
to.
Much. So.
Yeah.
Saddens me.
You just want to live in the old days. Kids.
What saddens you these days? The fact that children don't smoke anymore.
What has happened to this country?
The whole world's gone crazy. The kids don't even smoke anymore.
Politicians are nuts. Kids don't smoke anymore. Gas right. prices are up.
Through the roof.
When we were kids, remember asking, we'd be at Gossage Grill. I don't know if Gossage was
it
around.
It was, yeah.
You had the Gossage?
Oh, always. Now Ooh. It's a nice little Mexican taco place.
Yeah. It is. But Gossage Grill was a dirty, greasy spoon, 24-hour
It was like a saloon, trucker. Like the Wild awesome. West.
It was like a bar before we could go to bars.
Yeah, pretty
right?
much, yeah.
And, you know, there were always...
So you would get drunk somewhere else and go there.
Outlawish
pretend type. You were in a bar.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do remember, like...
Smoke and eat hash browns.
No, but we were, like, 11 years old, like, smoking at the diner, you know, like, hey, yelling, give me a double cheeseburger. Asking an adult for a cigarette. Do you remember that, Clay? Like, you were 11? Okay. You go into some guy at Gossage, you go, hey, sir, can I bum a cigarette?
No, it was more like...
No, you're 11.
It was like, sir, can I have a cigarette? Yeah. Hey, can I bum a Marlboro?
I said, hey, you smoke reds. Can I get a redder?
Let me get a cup of coffee and a pack of Marlboros. Yeah. I got a 20 in my sock.
Yeah. Right. My bike's locked outside.
Can I bring my bike in here?
They also
Can
had
I bring my bike in here?
They also had a cigarette machine there.
Yeah, of course. Billy, you only hung out at places that had cigarette machines.
Grandma Sally's, Annie's, and Gossage all had cigarette
Billy
machines.
Billy loved hearing the pull of the lever.
Yeah.
See that pack of Merits fall down.
The cigarette machine is kind of a Martin Scorsese aesthetic.
You should get
that
one
you
in
throw
your house.
You should get a cigarette machine
like
for your house.
Put it in my basement someday?
No, just buy cartons of cigarettes and just put them in there.
Yeah, load it up.
Load it, and then just have it in the basement, and just whenever you go down there and need a new pack, you can just go...
What are you looking at? You get 20 different brands. It's a carton per brand. It's 20 cartons. What's that, a couple $100?
200.
A
couple grand.
To live like a king.
No, a carton... Okay, let's think about this. If I'm in DuPage County, depending on, you know, do whatever, all the math, okay, if I got 20
all
cartons...
All the math,
okay.
Cigarette math with Billy.
We're looking at about 2 G's.
You get a carton for $70.
We're looking at a little over $2,000.
Times 20. It's 1,400.
Plus the machine.
1,400.
Yeah,
the machine's going to be about $1,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's possible.
It's an investment, though.
Get on eBay tonight. You can find
one. If I become a millionaire, sure, no problem. I'll have you guys over the...
I don't think you need to be a millionaire.
If this comedy thing works out, cigarette machines in every room in the house. You
sir,
know what I mean?
Sir, you just won the lotto. What are you going to do? Looks I'm putting like a cigarette machine in my kid's bedroom.
Kids are smoking again now.
All the dressers gone. Cigarette machines.
I want to get kids smoking again, you know? I want to do things.
I want it to be like 1990.
Yeah, I want to get rid of cell phones. I want them to concentrate on cigarettes.
This
more.
Guy was probably born in... What year were you born?
94.
Oh my God.
Oh, did kids at Luke's have cell phones when you were there?
No, I got my... I got my first one, I think, like sixth or seventh grade. It was a nice little flip guy.
Okay.
I didn't know what a text was.
Just like, this is to call mom and dad and stuff like that. All right.
Yeah. My daughter, Charlotte, is driving me nuts about the phone, asking me for a phone every day.
Oh, man.
And these kids in River Forest at Willard now, they have phones in like first grade.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like smart, like nice phones.
Yeah.
Well, they're walking around with like Samsung
Galaxies. It's River Forest, though. It's like going to grade school in Beverly Hills.
But like all these kids have had, like put an iPad in front of them like when they're out in public because like if you just stare at an iPad, you're not going to cause a scene.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So now that iPad... You're like, I want this smaller and on my person at all times.
Do you say that before your comedy shows? Do you say to the audience members, politely, please turn your cell phones off?
Turn your iPads off?
Everybody,
turn
your microchips off, everybody. If you have something embedded in your arm, please turn it off.
You were born the same year that Kurt Cobain died.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
You're welcome. Comeback season.
Maybe he passed the torch to you.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you play grunge music?
You
are wearing a flannel shirt.
I am. I think the grunge music just plays repeatedly in my head.
Yeah, I feel you, bro.
Yeah.
Pat, you have one of those contraptions on your wrist
here. Yeah, who'd
you punch? I didn't punch anyone, and it's actually a terrible story. I jammed and sprained my thumb pretty bad, and it's all black and blue in here. One sport that you can't use your hands.
In soccer.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I was playing goalie, so technically...
That's a good excuse.
Yeah. I made one save, then it got kicked immediately right back at me, and I tried to catch it with one hand.
Yep.
And catching a soccer ball off of a kick doesn't really work, and the thumb just took
Yeah. A beating.
The whole blow.
Did it go in, though?
No, made the save.
I thought maybe it had something to do with the fact that you also work at a bowling alley.
Oh, yeah.
The bowler, dude.
Because you do. Like, when you, one of your side hustles is that you tend bar and wait tables at a bowling alley.
Pinstripes is much more than just a bowling alley, man. I tell you, it is a bistro, and we also have bocce ball. So
nice. In Oak Brook.
Yeah. Ah, I love Pinstripes.
Yeah. You've been there, Bill?
Numerous times.
Great family outing.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll take my kids up there.
Are there a lot of guys walking around Pinstripes with that kind of the wrist thing on?
Honestly, yes. Yeah. Like, a lot.
Wow. Like pro bowler type stuff?
Right.
Is that where you got that? Did they have like a pro shop there? You're like, my thumb's killing me. I need one of those bowler things.
Don't they like dust their balls?
Yeah, they get the little...
Oh. I need ball dust, aisle 9, lane 9.
And Southern.
Any Southern bowlers up there?
And the ones that hold their hand over the vent for like 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Cool, I gotta feel it off.
The Lebowski was on TV today.
Yeah.
Saw that.
You should pay. You should try that out for your comedy set next time. Just put your hand up to the mic and just go, just cool, just feel in the air.
Just waiting for the room.
Yeah, I'm feeling the room out. I'm bowling for laughs. All right. Well, Pat, you've been our guest tonight. It's been Pat Clifford. You can see him every Thursday night at Hamburger Mary's Show Lounge at the Oak Park Brewing Company. What's the address over there again, Pat?
155 South Oak Park Avenue.
It's is that the only comedy room in Oak Park right now? I believe so.
I believe so. I think another couple are trying to do what we do, but
they're anti-comedy
Yeah.
Well,
does Friendly still have the comedy night? That
they do. Paul Obus, yeah. That's once a month, okay. And that's Berwyn. That's right. Not Oak Park.
Yes. Mm.
Well, Pat, congratulations on a 3-year run.
Thank you.
I encourage all of our listeners to go out and check it out next Thursday.
Get out there and laugh.
Get out there and laugh. Say hello to Pat Clifford. He'll be your resident MC. You can ask him about Marquette University and St. Luke's Grammar School and about the time that we talked about cigarettes when we had him on the
and
program.
And about how we're getting kids to smoke again.
Yeah.
It's a movement.
You can find archived episodes of the Hoolies Hoolie if you go to hibernianradio.org, or you can find us at iTunes under Hoolies Hoolie. Bill, you wanted to play a song?
Yeah,
it's
Vinny.
A little too early for the song?
No, I think, I don't know. We're going till 32, so I think we're getting close.
Throw it on there, Bill.
I mean, we could.
This was a number that...
this was a number that Vinny...
Vinny Mamoser,
Madden, and
our guest last week, yeah.
Their whole group played. I enjoyed the heck out of it, so I figured we'd play it a little homage and thank Vince for last week. So, great job this last Saturday. We'll see you next week, right, guys?
All right, Pat Clifford, thank you again,
thank
buddy.
Thank you for having me, guys. This has been fun.
Until next week.
Bye. Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain, with the rain and shone by love. Wash away my sorrow, wash away my shame, with the rain and shone by love. Everyone is lucky, everyone is so kind, on the road to Shambhala.
in the halls of Shambhala.